You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
But he lived his life as a copy. He didn't do anything he didn't see his father do. He didn't say anything he didn't hear his father say. And I think God often is accused of a lot of things that he doesn't do. And this idea that God, we often hear the term God is in control, but biblically speaking, we know that's not true. God's not in control. God is in control of outcomes, no question. And it will come down just like he said it will come down. And it will happen just like he said it's going to happen. But he's not in control of your life and my life when we rebel. He's not in control when the devil does what the devil does. He is called a rebel. He's in rebellion. And when you disobey God, he's not in control of you. He's not in control of the child molester. He's not in control of the serial murderer. He's not in control of Hitler. In fact, they weren't doing the will of God. They were opposing God's will. And many times you and I don't oppose God's will. That's called free will. Are you with me? And the reason that's possible is because God loves us. Without that, God, there is no love. We're not automatons. We're not robots. You know, God doesn't want to dance with a mannequin. He doesn't want to dance with a robot. And he doesn't want to pay somebody to dance with him. He wants you to freely dance with him. Now, to do that, you have the right to refuse that dance. That's called free will. Are you with me? But that gives us an environment for love. That creates an environment where God can love us. And any other environment is just a mechanical machine, and everything's already laid out. Everything you're ever going to do, everything you're ever going to say, every decision you're ever going to make. Doesn't really matter what you decide or don't decide. It's already been decided, you know, all those kinds of things we hear in church. And this is church, and we love God, and those people love God too. Are you with me? So we're not attacking people's faith toward their God. But if God is in control of every little meticulous detail that goes on, every decision you make, good, bad, or indifferent, then it's already, he's just playing this tune over and over again. He's already seen this show. And there's no relationship. There's no love. There's no exchange. I'm just doing what I was ordained to do. Every step, every move, every breath, every word. But no, I have free will. I can serve God, and that's why he's pleased when I come to him. That's why it means something to God when I worship him. That's why it means something to him when I call on his name, because I did not have to. I could have gone to hell. And nobody goes to hell, God sending them there. They go to hell because they choose not to go to heaven, because they choose not to receive Jesus. God wishes, the Bible says, that none should perish. Very plainly, he says that. So his will is that none should perish. But a lot of people do perish, because God's not going to take anybody to heaven kicking and screaming. Are you with me? He wants you to accept him freely and lovingly and willfully. And that being said, Jesus came down here and he showed us the Father. And notice what Jesus did. He did good things. He didn't kill. He didn't steal. He didn't destroy. In fact, that's what he said the devil did. John 10:10. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Woohoo! Am I the only one excited about that? I'm sorry to tell you that God loves you and he's for you and he's not against you. And I got good news. If you wanted bad news, you came to the wrong place. Are you with me? If you want to go under, you don't come here, because we're going to teach you how to go over. If you don't want the victory, don't come here. And if you don't want to know how to pray and get answers, well, don't come here, because we're going to preach you what the Word says about that. And God's going to tell you how to make it. Amen. And he really does want you to make it. And life's full of trial. I got that, and full of pain and crisis and loss. But, you know, you can recover and you can stand upright and you can put your hope in heaven for sure. We got a heaven waiting on us. Amen. So in John 8, we went over this. In fact, when Jesus talked about what he did, he said, I don't know where to start. I want to start in Genesis 1, but that's just going to take too long. In John 8 chapter, they're always questioning Jesus when he'd do things. And he just said, well, look, John 8:26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Y'all see that? So Jesus really just shared with you what he'd heard his father say. Isn't that right? What he said, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. Then said Jesus to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak those things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Wow. So he only said what God told him to say. He only did what God told him to do. And he only said what he heard God say. And he only did what he saw God do. So if you notice Jesus, if you walk through shores of Galilee, the streets of Capernaum, and you watch him, he raises the dead, casts out devils, heals the sick, and gives to the poor, stops storms, doesn't start them. So a lot of what goes on we blame God for. Really, the scripture is very plain that it's not God, and Jesus is the perfect example of that. I know we can pull some Old Testament scriptures, and I believe the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But Jesus is not just another prophet. We can't put him like up against Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Moses. Jesus is God in the flesh. So he's got to be the highest authority on who God is and what God will do and what God says. Amen? I mean, you would have to put Jesus' words just a little above everybody else's. I don't see how you could put them on the same plane. Are you out there? I mean, Job may say the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. But Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've come that you might have life. And I might have it more abundantly. Now, you can hold on to Job if you want to, and you can look at Job and say, well, there's a scripture. But I think the scripture has got to yield itself to Jesus. Jesus is the central theme of scripture. He is the crux of Christianity. Are you with me? And he is not a message. He is the message. He is the word made flesh. So everything clears up in him. It has to. In fact, you're not going to get saved believing scripture. You're going to get saved believing in Jesus that the scripture talks about. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Y'all sound really excited about that. Sometimes we can worship the Bible, and I'll believe the Bible, I do. But the Bible testifies of him, and if you don't come to him, you can't have life. Actually, Jesus said that. He said, the scripture testified me, and you will not come to me. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But there they testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. And there are people in churches, there's people even in seminaries preaching that don't believe in Jesus in the sense that he rose from the dead, that he was born of a virgin, but they know the scripture. They search the scripture, thinking that it's in there. Are you with me? But the scripture points to him. Everything points to him. All of creation points to him. The heavens point to him. The word points to him. When Jesus came along, the Bible says he was the word made flesh. Wow, the word made flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, John 1:14 says. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So we do have the law. It's there. It's written. It's in the Old Testament. We have what Moses said. But see, the real truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth didn't come till Jesus came. We got bits and we got pieces. We heard about a moral code. We heard about a holy God. But we didn't really catch the love of God. We didn't have a relationship with God. We really couldn't be saved and born again until Jesus came. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. And truth. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So the full truth and the whole truth, I mean the truth unveiled, unchained and unhooked, without any shadows and types and symbols. No, the face-to-face truth of God came to us in Jesus Christ. There was a veil over the reading of the Old Testament. There were types and shadows in the Old Testament. There were feasts that pointed to symbolically to Jesus. But when Jesus came, the veil was taken off. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And now we behold him, the glory of him, the express image of his person. God, who at sundry times in many manners spoke to us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son. Wow. That's powerful stuff. Amen. So when we walk with him, and we see him in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and we hear what he has to say, and of course Paul and other writers in the New Testament begin to refer to him and talk about him, and Peter and different ones, we're seeing the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. Not a stick figure, not a photograph, not an album we're looking at, but in the flesh, he's there. This is God. And he tells us he just did what he saw God do, and he just said what he heard God say. And you notice he didn't go around killing, stealing, and destroying, and he didn't start tornadoes and hurricanes and all that. Those things are in this world because the world's fallen. It's a broken world we live in. We're going to have a memorial service here at 2 o'clock because there's death in this world. There's been death in this world ever since Adam sinned. That's not God's design. That wasn't God's plan. He didn't want that to happen. Are you with me? In fact, what he did because of sin, you know what God did because of sin? He sent Jesus. We might say, well, death and all this stuff God's doing because of sin. No, sin brought that on us, and God told us that would happen if we did that. The judgment's built into the sin. because God made principles and laws and rules. You jump off house, you hit ground, that's gravity. Hello. You can't blame God for jumping off the house. You jumped off the house. The law of gravity brought you to the ground. And it was built into the gravity. Gravity is a wonderful thing if you work with it. Electricity is a great thing if you work with it. The lights come on. Heat comes on in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. Hallelujah. All right. I mean, when the Cowboys are doing good, TVs come on. You know, everything. Electricity is a wonderful thing. It cooks your food, does all kinds of things. But if you violate the law of electricity, if you cut into that wall and cut that wire and grab that naked wire, that same law of electricity that actually heated your home and cooled it in the summer and turned on the Cowboys, you know, that same law will kill you. And you can say, well, God just judged me. No, the law, it was built, the judgment was built into the law. You violated it. And judgment's built into sin. It's built into just like a seed. If you plant a watermelon seed, you're going to get watermelons. You plant squash, you're going to get squash. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That's a principle, see? Now, we can blame God all day long and say, God judged that man, God judged that woman, God judged that nation. But really, the nation's sin judged them. It's built into it. It wasn't God's will they did it. He told them not to do it. Actually told you not to do that thing that brought that judgment on you. Now, that's a lot of things we can account for, but then just the world we live in, because there's so many people involved, so many wills involved, some things are happening by chance and by accident, and we're in a broken world, we're not in heaven, and we're all going to die. We're all going to die. Jesus doesn't come back, you and I are going to die, but hallelujah, when you get to heaven, no one's ever going to die again. No one's ever going to get sick again. Oh, praise God. We're going to eat banana pudding every meal. Every meal. Every meal. Hallelujah. I want to go there. But here we have Jesus showing us who God really is, because the world was a little messed up on who God. The pictures are skewed. You know, just it's messed up and out of whack, because we got bits and pieces even in the Old Testament. And it sounded like he's hard and mean. But it wasn't him. That was sin that judged. Jesus comes along and says, this is God. And the very fact that he came showed us that we didn't really have a clear picture. He needed to come because we weren't getting it. He needed to come to save us, obviously, but he also needed to come to declare God to us so we could get a clear picture. And he only said what he heard him say, and he only did what he saw God do. Now, why is it that if God isn't all that stuff that we accuse God of, that Jesus never did any of that stuff? Good question, isn't it? I mean, Jesus never killed anybody. He never, you know, never started any storms. Never did he just give us a one side of God? We're still back to just not even getting a full picture, aren't we? Or did he give us, did he fully declare him? Did he give us, is he the express image of God's, is he the fullness of the Godhead bodily? These are all terms in the Bible now. Is he the whole picture? Yeah, I believe he is. I believe he is. And I believe there's answers to all those other questions. But I think we're pointing to God and blaming God for things that he did not do, and actually many things he warned us about and told us would happen because of laws and principles. There has to be rules. There has to be principles. And rules are good and laws are great. There's nothing wrong with laws. In fact, thank God for laws on the highway. That ribbon of asphalt out there is a wonderful thing. As long as you obey the laws, are you with me? It gets you from one city to the next, and you got red lights, green lights, and yellow lights. You got stop signs, and you got speed limits and lines that keep you on one side of the road. If you keep the law is a good thing. But if you break the law, you have accidents, you're going too fast, you ran a red light, people run into each other, sometimes people die because they break the law. Or if you had no laws, if you had no laws at all, well, who would know where to go? Who would know how fast to drive? Who would know who had the right of way, when to slow down or when to stop? Or, you know, are you with me? What side of the road to drive on? See, laws are wonderful. They're good. There's nothing wrong with laws. Are you out there? But you can't blame the guy that made the law when you broke the law. Okay. Is that helping anybody? So I'd throw that out there. You may want to throw it out too. That's all right. But here we see Jesus making very plain that he just did what he saw the Father do, and he just said what he saw the Father say. So in that sense, he was a copycat, not in a bad way. In fact, we're all copycats if you want to know the truth. We all copy somebody. Most of you today probably speak English, don't you? Yeah, you probably copied that from your parents, didn't you? And the school teacher and so on. Yeah. Now, Mari, I know you speak two languages, but you know, you copied somebody. That's how you learn. You learn by copying, and you dress a certain way because others dress that way, and so on and so forth. Nothing wrong with being a copycat. We're all copycat. Just want to make sure you're copying the right cat. That's all. Amen. And that's what Jesus did. He copied, you know, not to be disrespectful, but he copied the greatest copy he could copy with God, is God, his Father. And so we need to do the same thing. We need to follow suit. And that's really what he goes on to say. 29th verse, he says, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And then it says, he spoke these words, and many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In other words, if you'll copy me just like I copy my Father, if my words will get in you like God's words in me, and you continue in my word like I've continued in God's word, and just like I've been God's, my Father's disciple, you'll be my disciple. You'll know the truth, the real whole truth, nothing but the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah. So just like Jesus copied his Father, we should copy Jesus. And that's what he's saying very plainly. And if we'll do that, it'll make us free. Oh, hallelujah. I'll be free from the fear of man. I'll be free from being intimidated around people. I'll be comfortable in my own skin. I'll just be copying Jesus, and people will say what they want to, and I hope they're okay, and I hope they like me. But if they don't, it's okay. I'm going to copy Jesus. I know he loves me. He's for me. Are you with me? I'm going to seek to please him instead of trying to please everybody else. I can't please everybody else. I'm not purposely trying to offend anybody. I love people, but I love Jesus more than anything. And I have to serve Jesus, and I have to make my stand for him because he's the one I want to please, and he's the one I want to copy. And it's not about being more holy than someone. It's not about just trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to represent somebody. Are you with me? You know, people say, why are you trying to impress somebody? No, I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to represent somebody. There's a total difference here. Are you with me? I want to be like Jesus. I want to love because he loves. I want to forgive because he forgives. In fact, he's the pattern in all those cases when the Bible talks about forgiveness. It says, forgive as Christ forgave you. See, because there's always a pattern, there's always a copy, there's always somebody we're looking at that we're wanting to be like, we're wanting to dress like, we're wanting to act like, we're wanting to talk like, we're wanting to walk like, and that someone is Jesus. It's not me, except to the extent that I follow Jesus. See, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't just say, follow me. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Nobody could say, follow me without being the height of arrogance or actually literally being God themselves. And Jesus did say, follow me, because he's God. He did say he was the way, the truth, the life, because he is. You and I are just reflectors of that light. You and I are just copying him. But we point to him constantly. You know, shine your light before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we always point to him. And we need to let our light shine, amen? We ought to be reflectors of his love and his mercy and his forgiveness. And in doing so, we're just following what Jesus said to do here. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. I'm not talking about salvation. If you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are saved. But we're talking about being a disciple. That's something totally different. See, often we have the idea that church is just about souls, just about getting people saved. Well, yeah, we should get people saved. I got that. That's the greatest thing that ever happened. Anybody's get saved. But we don't stop there. We're supposed to make disciples. And that's where teaching comes in. That's where we get in the Word and we come to church and we fellowship with one another and we overcome some things in our life. Maybe it's anger, bitterness. Maybe it's addictions or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're having trouble in your marriage. God wants you to have a good marriage. Well, there's ways to do that. There's things that God says that'll take you to that end or that destination. And that's what church is about. If we don't get in the Word of God, if we don't continue in His Word, then we're not going to really be disciples. We might be saved, but we're not going to be disciples. That Greek word disciples is mathetes. We get the word math, the root word math, which is a highly concentrated type of learning dealing with numbers. But generally in Greek, it just meant learning in general, math. And someone who was under learning was a mathetes, the E-T-E-S ending. And so Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you are a student under my learning. That's different than just being saved, right? So I'm saved by grace, no question, but am I still in school? That's the question. Am I still learning? Am I still under the teaching? You know, I used to go to a school called Center High School, Center, Texas. I was an S-I-N-E-R, a center in Center, Texas. That gets a little mangled with my East Texas accent, but while I was there, I was a student. Most everybody here was a student of a school at one point in your life. And you could always say, I was a student there. But you couldn't say that now because you're not. Are you? You're not still enrolled, see? I'm not enrolled anymore. And in fact, I didn't even finish that stint. They kicked me out before I got through. I wasn't saved. That was B.C. before Christ in my life. But I was one, but I'm not one now. Well, a disciple, we're not going to be that way with disciples. That's not what Jesus wants us to continually be in school. His school, his learning. If you continue my word, then you are my students, my disciples, under my learning. And you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Woo! Amen. Free to love, free to serve God, free to live right. Amen. Free to forgive. All those things you're struggling with and having trouble with, you know, he'll help you do it. Thank God you're not alone. I mean, that's what's so good about this thing. God never asked me to do anything that he didn't empower me to do. Grace is not just forgiveness of sins. Grace is a power over sin. And often we don't tap into that aspect of grace. We're still hanging on to the cross. We're still saved. We're still talking about salvation. I got that. I thank God for that. There's nothing better than that, than to be saved by grace. There's nothing ever top that. But now that I am saved, this same grace that saved me also empowers me now to live right and live holy, and to do the things of God that I couldn't do before. Helps me love people, help me forgive people, helps me overcome sin. Hallelujah. Man, I've been saved to serve. I don't sound real excited about this message, but it's the truth nonetheless. I'm sorry God wants to make you a better person, but maybe you don't want to be one, but he really wants to make you a better person. Okay? Because if you're not forgiven and you're bitter, you're miserable. God doesn't like that, and there's a way to overcome that misery that you're going through and laying awake at night with your eyes wide open looking at the ceiling thinking about that person you want to get a hold of because you hadn't forgiven them, let it go. The hurter hurts. The hurt person hurts. Are you with me? The hater hurts. Are you with me? So as long as you hold on that, you're killing yourself. So if you want to get free of that, well, get in God's word and find out what God says. Do what he says to do and then get free. Hallelujah. Get free of people that still have a piece of you. They still holding on to you. Something they did 20 years ago. Their name comes up and here you go. Man, your gut tightens up, you know, and those memories come back because you hadn't let it go. You have got to let it go. You got to get free of that. And if you'll follow Jesus, get in his word, you can get free. Get rid of that stuff. You're just making yourself miserable, and us too. For us, please, get over it. 36th verse. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Turn to Romans 8. Hallelujah. Amen. I just preached myself happy here. In Romans, the 8th chapter, notice what it says in the... Here's one everybody knows, this one, 8:28. I'm amazed how out of context we hear it said. We know, 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We often claim that when things good, bad, or indifferent happen to us, we say, well, all things work together for good. Well, no, they don't. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things don't work together good if you don't love God. Now, don't misquote it. And don't half quote it. All things work together for good. In other words, when the devil throws something at me, I can come out better if I love God and I go to God and I pray, I seek his face and I do the right thing. But if I don't do the right thing and I don't go to God and I don't pray, it's not going to work out for my good. Hello? It can actually make me worse. So everything doesn't make us good or bad. Only God makes us good, and it's only when we go to God that things can turn for our good. And God's a master at turning bad things around, tragic things around. He doesn't bring the tragedy and the help. He brings the help. Okay, but the tragic thing that is brought because of this broken, fallen world, because of the devil who hates us, wants to destroy us, the bad thing that happened to us, and it happens to everybody from time to time, if you and I go to God because we love God, God will vindicate us. He'll stand up for us. He'll strengthen us. He'll get us through that thing, and we'll come out stronger in the long run. The devil will get a black eye, and we'll win. Glory to God, and all things do work together for good to them that love God. That's what the whole verse says, isn't it? We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Here's your destiny. You want your destiny is? And it's everybody's destiny, actually. Not everybody fulfills it. But it's everybody's destiny. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that however Jesus was, there'd be a lot of other people just like him. That he'd be the firstborn among many Jesuses, as it were. Not the Christ, not the Savior. I'm not the Christ, I'm not the Savior. But I'd be loving like he loves. I would be forgiving like he forgave. I'd be living like he lives. I would be overcoming the devil like he overcame the devil. Amen? I'd be praying for people like he prayed for people. I'd see miracles like he saw miracles. That's what he said. I mean, come on. In fact, he even said exactly that thing in John 14. Remember John 14, where Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. Remember that? And Jesus said, well, Philip, have I been so long with you? Have you not seen the Father? He that's seen me has seen the Father. In other words, if you walk with me, you've seen what God does. I am doing what the Father told me to do. I am saying what the Father told me. I am a copy, an express image of the Father. If he were here, this is what he'd do. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In my actions and in my words. And then he goes on, the 12th verse says this, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow, think that thing through. So Jesus is telling Philip, I am doing what the Father does. I'm saying what the Father says, so he that's seen me has seen the Father. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what I do and say what I say so people will see me and you. And if you do that, then whatever you ask in my name, I'll do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son by being glorified in you. Wow. We're just passing this thing down. That's all we're doing. Jesus copied the Father, we copy Jesus. Amen. People see Jesus in us. People saw God in Jesus. Wow. Y'all see the transition? So, what's our destiny? What are we supposed to be doing? What does it say here in the 29th verse? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son. It is our destiny to be like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. Oh, moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, wow. Man, that makes me want to shout. I don't know about you. I can't even stop this thing. Next verse. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Woo, hallelujah. I'll just shout myself. Praise God. We're born to be like Jesus, to be conformed to his image. In fact, over and all through the scripture I mentioned already, every time he talks about us doing something that seems impossible, he always says, as Christ forgave you. You do this as Christ. You receive each other as Christ received you. Are you with me? You forgive as Christ forgave you. Be ye holy, for the Lord your God is holy. See, it's always, the pattern's always there. It's never us on our own. It's never us doing it by ourselves. It's always looking at the pattern, which our pattern is Jesus. My pattern's not you. Well, I'm just as good as you are. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not the pattern. You might be good as somebody else, but there's some other people just as good as you too. So that just never stops, you know. I've told you all about Bubba, Hannah. Bubba is just a guy I hung out with when I was lost. One of many guys. There's probably several Bubbas, but I remember one in particular. You know, in a country town, you don't, a country church, you don't ask Bubba to take the offering. Five people will stand up. But anyway. But this guy really is Bubba Bush. Was his name, Bubba Bush. And I was witnessing to Bubba, and I really laying it on him. You know, I'd gotten saved, and, you know, I came out of drugs and jails, pretty wild background. And these were guys that I knew, that I hung out with, you know. We're on a job, and I was witnessing to him, and he looked at me, and he says, Michael Williams, he said, if you're going to heaven, I'm going to heaven. I know you. In other words, I'm just as good as you are. And I said, no, Bubba, you don't know me. You know who I was. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus now. I'm not who I used to be. I died. That old man died. I'm a new person now. But see, even in his mind, it was just a matter of comparison. And if I was going just on my merit and how I'd live, sure, Bubba had been there right beside me. Because if I got there, he'd get there. Goodness gracious. But I wasn't going to heaven on my merit. I wasn't going to heaven because of what I did. I was going to heaven because of what Jesus did. I'd like that little girl last week at First Baptist Church. I need some help. That's why I came to Jesus. Because I couldn't do this on my own. I can't do this by myself. But thank God you're not by yourself. Amen. And those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. That's what Paul said. You know, when you start thinking of other Christians, it's easy to criticize. It's easy to start talking about other churches and other people. And, you know, because it helps you justify your own sin and your own lack of obedience to obey God. Forget all that, would you? Just pray for people and just look at Jesus. How do you stand with him? That's the question. Can you do a little better? I would think so. When I look at Jesus, I see a lot of improvement I can do. I can see some things I need to work on, amen? But hallelujah, I know he'll help me do it. Because he'll help me be like him. He won't help me be like anybody else. I don't need him to help me be like anybody else. I can be like anybody else on my own. But if I'm going to be like Jesus, I need some help. And that's the kind of help that he offers. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Praise God. And the sermon's not over because the phone went off. I don't know whose phone went off, but the sermon's still going. Turn with me to Romans 12 while we're in Romans. I'll give you a couple of verses here. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Romans 12. See, you're not alone. Everybody believe in grace? I believe in grace. I'm saved by grace. I couldn't get to heaven any other way. Well, grace will help you serve them too. Grace will help you forgive people. Just like you came to God with your whole heart and said, I can't do this by myself. Lord, come into my heart. Save me, Jesus. You know, I believe on you. I trust in what you did to be saved. Do that same thing to forgive people and to live holy. And when you pray for someone in Jesus' name, put your faith in him and the favor and the grace of God when you do that. Because we do what we do by the grace of God. And everything we do in word or deed, we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've claimed that grace to be saved, but we kind of just let it go from there on out. We're just saved and we're waiting for heaven. But that grace will help us grow. That grace will help us love. It'll help us forgive. That same grace that saved us is the same grace that empowers us to live holy. So don't ever say, I can't forgive that person. Well, by yourself you can't, but you're not by, you haven't been by yourself since you got saved. You haven't been alone a day in your life since you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 6:10. So that's what we need. We need to tap into some of his strength. That's the problem, is we got saved by his strength, but from then on we try to run on our own strength. Are we so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are we now made perfect by the flesh? You know, I'm just quoting Scripture. I am perfected the same way I got saved. Hallelujah. I'm living under that, by faith, having received the Lord Jesus by faith, I am continuing in him by faith. See, so all this stuff I say I can't do, well, no, I need to be saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 tells us that. So tap into it and quit making excuses and quit saying you can't when you can. There's a whole bunch of people in the wilderness said they couldn't. And there was a couple guys said they could. And those who said they could and those who said they can't were both right. They both got what they said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can obey God. I can live for God. I can serve God. The commandments of God are not grievous or hard or burdensome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the way to live. I tell you, a hard way to live is when you didn't know Jesus. That was a hard way to live. Romans 12. Notice what it says here in the first couple verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I like that. God's not looking for people to die for him. Okay? That's the Islamic faith. Under the Islamic faith, the God of Islam wants you to die for him. We're Christians. Our God died for us. Are you with me? Totally different. Amen? He's looking for you to live for him. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You want to make a sacrifice? Don't go out and blow yourself up. That's the craziest thing in the world. Are you kidding me? You're going to blow yourself up and kill a bunch of people? That's great. That'll bring a lot of people to the Lord there. A lot of people will be meeting the Lord if they know Jesus, that's for sure. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're Christians. We're believers. We don't subjugate people to the faith. We don't beat people into submissions. We don't kill people that don't believe in Jesus. And we don't go blow ourselves up and consider that some kind of sacrifice. Are you with me? What we sacrifice is our lives while we live them. We are living sacrifices. Oh, glory to God. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Why not? Because we're supposed to be conformed to Christ. Isn't that right? Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because here it comes, here it comes. If you're going to do this thing, you're going to have to continue in his word. That's what he said over there in John 8, 31, 32. You know, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth will make you free. Knowledge of the word, knowledge of God, knowledge of Jesus, knowing the truth will help you keep being conformed from the world. It'll help you be like Jesus and less like the world, as it were. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. See, a lack of not knowing the truth, not knowing what God says, not really knowing Jesus as we should. The more we know him, the more we know the truth, well, the easier it is to not conform to the world. A lot of things change in church. I got that. Music changes and dress changes and so on. But the gospel doesn't change. Are you with me? I mean, the colors that are in vogue change. You know, they go from bright red carpet. You know, old churches had bright red carpet. And, I say that. Maybe a new church that has one. I'm not talking about you. If you've got red carpet. But it's not about the carpet anyway, okay? It has nothing to do with the carpet or the walls or the name on the sign out there. First name's going to burn off is the name on that sign. Whether it's Baptist, Methodist, International Outreach Church, these are all great churches. I mean, Church of Christ, Catholic, you go right on down the list. People that name Jesus, we have names over our buildings because we're joining together and we have a group and we call it something. But we preach Jesus. First thing's going to burn off is that name out there on the sign. And the name Jesus is going to outshine them all. Are you with me? And so it's not the carpet, it's not this, but sometimes, you know, in our changing carpets and changing wall color and changing, you know, television lights and so on and so forth and changing music, which music changes. I got that. We don't sing Gregorian chants. Are you out there? No church does. I mean, unless you're in a monastery somewhere. Music is always changing. I got that. And it's always a tough transition from generation to generation. And I got that. But the message never changes, does it? Never changes. So no matter who you are or what you look like or, you know, what age you're in, you still need Jesus as Lord and Savior in your life. And it's still right to live holy and it's still right to forgive and love. And see, those things never change. Pride still goes before destruction. The haughty spirit goes before a fall. It still does. Pride's never in vogue, not in Christianity. It's not. You can't be proud. You be confident. I'm confident. But I'm not proud in the sense. I have nothing to be proud about. I didn't do anything. I just give all my glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says this, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God See, he wants us to be aware of the fact that as long as you live, you're going to conform to something. And if you're not in church, in the Word, if you're not praying and seeking God, you will conform to the world. It's just a natural thing. It will happen. It would happen to me or you or anybody. That's why we don't have no stones to throw and we're not condemning anybody. Are you with me? So anybody that comes in here from the world, if they'll turn their life around, they can have a whole new life. Anyone that comes from out of sin, you know, I don't condemn people that sin. Goodness, I used to sin myself. I even committed a sin after I got saved, about 8-9 years ago one time. No, kidding. Stay with me. You can still sin too. We're not against, you know, I'm against homosexuality. I'm not against the homosexual. I'm against abortion. I'm not against the woman that had the abortion. Are you with me? If they'll repent and come to Jesus, bring the homosexual, bring the adulterer, bring the abortionist, bring the liar, bring the gossiper. Oh, now we're getting down to it, aren't we? If they'll repent, come to Jesus, we'll take anybody. If they want to serve the Lord and come out of that, we're here to help. We love you. We're for you. We don't hate anybody because we've sinned too. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. But we got to be clear. Are you with me? We can't be mamby-pamby about this thing. We can't stand up here and say it's just okay to live that way and that's fine, just live it the way you want to. No, we believe something. We're Christians. We believe the Bible. Are you with me? I love you too much to tell you that homosexuality is okay. I love you too much to tell you that if you're living together and you're not married, I love you too much to not tell you you're living in sin. You're living in sin. And God doesn't hate you. I don't hate you, but you're in sin and you need to get out of that sin. If you go get a license, I'll marry you. Are you out there? But let's get it right. Let's don't stand in the pulpit. As long as I'm pastor in this church, I'm going to preach the truth in love. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what the government says is right. The government doesn't choose our messages. The government doesn't decide our faith. Our faith is decided by Jesus and what he said in his word. Amen. But we've got to be cautious that we make it clear, that we're concise, that we make it plain that we love people, that we're about Jesus. Amen. He is our message. Hallelujah. And man, I love you. I'm for you. I don't care if you're hooked on drugs. I don't, you know, whatever it is. If you want to get out of that mess, come on. Come over here. Come to International Outreach Church. We'll help you overcome that mess. We will lead you to Jesus. We'll get you right with God. I mean, we love you. We don't hate you. The world does not know what the church is for. They know what we're against, but we hadn't been clear about what we're for. We got to be clear about this thing. Are you with me? We're for people. Thank God he was for me. Thank God he was for you. Thank God he looked beyond your fault and saw your need. Amen? Amen. But we have got to be like Jesus. You know, he reached out to the publicans and the harlots and sinners. You know that? Those are the ones that ran to him. It was the religious people that he had trouble with. It was the lost and the undone and the hurting and the people that were in sin. They're the ones that turned around and got right and fell before them, rushed into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Mm. Love. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. We need to be like Jesus. Amen. I'm going to have to quit. I can't get through this. There's so many scriptures I want to get to. You might wonder, and I've used this example before, how in the world, when you look at yourself and you look at the mirror, how are you ever going to be like Jesus? Well, it doesn't happen overnight. You get saved overnight. I got that. But it takes a while to grow and mature, and you'll be doing that till the day you die. But it's like this young boy, it's an old story, came up to a sculptor. A guy was was making a sculpture, a sculpturist, I guess what you call it, I don't know. The guy with the chisel and the hammer that beats this thing makes a sculpture. Had this block of granite, and he was chiseling away at it, and the boy said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm chiseling out a horse." And the boy said, "Well, how in the world are you going to make a horse out of that? Just a big old block of granite." He said, "Oh, son, that's real easy. I just chisel away everything that doesn't look like a horse. And when I get through, I got a horse." So when you look in that mirror and you look at that block of granite staring back at you and you wonder, how is that ever possible? Real simple. You just start chiseling away everything that doesn't look like Jesus. Next time you get mad, you stop that stuff, all right? Next time you get bitter, you just get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you and you forgive that person. And you little by little begin to chisel away things. And one day you're going to look in that mirror and you start looking a little more like him. Are you with me? And people are going to start saying, "You know, I see Jesus in that fellow over there. I see Jesus in that woman over there." And what they're seeing is you conforming to his image and you being transformed not conformed to the world, by the renewing of your mind, and by determination of focus that you're going to do right. Hallelujah. And he's going to help you do it. Good stuff. Amen. Stand up with us. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad I preached that. That helped me. I needed that. Hey, bow your heads just a moment. Hey, if you love Jesus, you're a Christian, not ashamed of it, put your hands up. I always want to make sure I think everybody in here is saved. And praise God. I think that's, yeah, everybody in here. Never want to be remiss on this because, boy, if there's ever anybody that doesn't know, you need to make it right. Jesus is what we're all about. Amen. Hallelujah. That help you? Okay, we're going to live like Jesus. We're going to do our best. Let's work on it and get them to help us. When you sin, just repent. Ask God to forgive you and get back up on your feet again. Don't beat yourself over the head. We're all working on this thing. Amen? None of us are perfect naturally. We're perfect in our spirit, but we're all working on this thing. You just have to keep getting back up, keep getting back up. And little by little, you'll start looking more like him. I'm already seeing a difference in you already. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Hey, feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death and let them die.